Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
You know, life, to me, it's about opportunity. That's what life does. It presents opportunity. And I'll just tell you, as Christians, as people, what life becomes that now is that life presents an opportunity to overcome. See, that's really what it is. It's not just everything doesn't come up roses. Okay, we all know that. I mean, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. All right, so things happen. We go through things. We have to deal with things. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, that having to deal with things. That life presents opportunities, that it's opportunities to overcome. It's opportunities to take a stand of faith. See, and that's key. That's what's pivotal. See, we all feel so ill-equipped to handle what we have to face day in and day out, yet all we need, listen, is one promise, one word from God to stand on, to take a stand upon. See, and that's the key. The devil wants you to always be backpedaling, to be on your heels, to be blinking and flinching and tapping out. And that's not who we are now. Man, we are overcomers in this age. We are men and women that stand, listen, for the cause of Christ. No matter what, we stand. No matter what the storm is, no matter what the peril is, no matter what the report is, no matter what the diagnosis or prognosis is, that we stand. And whatever you're going through right now, and I know everybody's going through something. I mean, everybody's going through, you're going through things that are such a big deal. And I know some of it kind of falls in the category that my grandpa used to tell me. Remember, Grandpa Buster would say, man, people don't care that your dog died. They care that their dog died. It's like, man, you understand my dog. It's like, oh, yeah, your dog, great. Sorry. But then you go through things that people can identify with. And you go through things. And listen, what you're going through right now is not a coincidence. It's not something where God's going, are you kidding me? How did that happen? Well, shoot, we need to figure out a plan. No, you know what? God is well aware of what you're going through right now. God has given you his promise. God has a plan. And the plan, listen, it's always linked to you overcoming. The plan of God in your life is to overcome. See, that's what we have to be. Developing a nature on the inside of you, developing the nature of overcoming that's in you. See, that's what God's doing. That's God's plan in your life. See, that's why the Bible says that the thoughts that I think toward you, the plan that I have for you, says the Lord, is good, not evil, to give you a future and a hope. But listen, the plan isn't just for you to go from A to B and then spend some time in B and then go to C. No, that plan is a plan for you to overcome no matter what stage or step you are in life, no matter what you're dealing with. But see, the key is that it rains on the just and the unjust alike. Storms hit all of our lives. What happens in that storm is determined by where you're planted, by what your foundation is. Man, listen, it's not all the other things. It's not the accessories. It's not all the little Pinterest posts of your life that matter. What matters is where you are grounded. What matters is what's the foundation of your life, because the storm's going to come, and the Bible says it's going to vehemently beat against your dwelling. Let me just tell you, this life of faith, this stand of faith, what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, he said, fight the good fight of faith. And then he said, lay hold of eternal life. Man, fight the good fight of faith. See, the fight that we fight, that we want to fight, the fight that satisfies us is a fight of flesh. And see, that's never a good fight. The fight of flesh that we fight is a carnal fight. It's what the Bible warns us about, this carnal fight. You know, it's interesting, because here's Paul, because of the incredible revelation that he had in his life, because of his growth in God, and really honestly, he could probably apportion a little bit of it to Barnabas, some of it maybe even to Peter and John that he was with, and then maybe some to Apollos, but most of it was his. Most of it was the revelation that he got just from the scripture and from the Holy Spirit. See, so because of this revelation, the enemy sent a messenger to buffet him. And he went to the Lord three times and he said, God, take this messenger, take this from me. And you know what? There's people, I believe, that it's sloppy and error when there's preachers that say, well, God told him no. God never told him no. He said, God, take this from me. God, take this from me. God, take this from me. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, my strength, now listen, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Now, I don't know about you and I. That's not a no. But I don't know about you, but for me, I'd rather be strong. I'd rather stay in my strengths. Man, people, you'll hear that all the time. Man, stay in your strength, stay in your strength. But what happens when you get into a lane? What happens when you get to a place where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm not very strong here? And what if there's a messenger of Satan that's trying to buffet you? What if there is a demonic attack on the natural circumstances that we have to live in and overcome day by day? See, what do we do then? Man, we go to that grace, that gifting that God's given us. Man, we're equipped to overcome. Do you understand? Whatever you're going through right now, whatever you're dealing with right now, it is in you to overcome that right here and right now today. And I understand that you're thinking, well, I got to walk this out. I got to step this through. I don't know who told you that. See, I'm going to make a case in God's word today that's going to help you look at it and think, you know something? I'm an overcomer. That's who I am. That's what God's made me to be. I'm an overcomer. And it's the grace of God that God has given me to overcome. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Man, that is such a powerful point. And that's the word of the Lord for you today. That in the areas of your life that you're weak and you're just throwing your hands up or you're throwing the towel in. No, his strength that's in you is made perfect in your weakness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. John 16:33, Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you. He said, in me you'll have peace. He said, in the world you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He said, in me you're going to have peace. For though we walk in the flesh, in 2 Corinthians 10, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. Or listen, we don't have our strategy of life in the flesh. See, my plan isn't what I can muster or what I can do. My plan is that I always overcome. And you know what? I overcome. And the overcoming agent is that I trust God. I trust his promise. See, if you stick around here long enough, there are 7,700 promises in God's word, over 7,700. My plan is that in my life of ministry here is that we effectively teach and preach and minister every one of those promises so you're well equipped for every good work. But see, it doesn't just happen by chance. See, what happens is that if this were the cross, this cocktail table here, and I'm living my life, the closer I get to the cross, man, the more excited I am about church. I think I'm going to go to church tonight. I think I'm gonna go to church Sunday. I think I'm gonna go back to that church. And people are like, what are you, crazy? Yeah, I think I'm gonna go to church. I'm excited. The closer you get, you're like, okay, this is a little awkward, but man, I'm like a 10. And then you go through the cross and you're at a 10 where you're like, oh my gosh, I love everything about this. Oh, Pastor, that was such a good word. Can I get a picture with you, Pastor? Is there any chance? Can I get a picture of something I'm saying like this? And preached three times, but it's like, oh my gosh, everything's so, I love the colors are so, man, those boys and girls that get up here and sing are unbelievable. They should be on American Idol. It's so phenomenal. And then you kind of get, it becomes the routine of your life. And you're like, you know what? Man, I'm loving this, but it's a part of my routine now. Church has become a part of my routine. I'm committed to this. I'm disciplined. I go to church. It's my church. I even give. I tithe. I serve. Yeah, you know, I signed up. I've signed up. I'm gonna be about on that team. But it becomes a routine. And you know what happens? That level goes down. So now we're living at this level where it's like we're not at that level, but we're at okay level. I'm still higher than you guys. Dear God, you're at that base level. I'm not at that base level because I'm still kind of excited. I get to this place, but now I've been doing this for years and I've kind of paid my dues. You know, I've gone through the second mile. I've done some things, and I've been on teams. I've worked some nightmares. I sold tickets. I did some stuff. I fixed some things, and I was there. I went on a team relief trip. You know what? It's not that big a deal to me now. I've kind of got my life in order. See, sin isn't ravaging my life anymore. It's just the occasional temptation I fall prey to. And you know, those things happen, and your life begins to sink, because it becomes more of a routine. And now I'm at this level where I was before I went through the cross. But you know what? I could carry this. I could go through the motions. I'm good at going through the motions. I really am. You don't have to have much of a relationship with God once you find out and get used to the routine. Except the big problem is, when you have to overcome, it's impossible to do it from here, and it's easy to do it from there. See, so we get into a place now where, what do I do when everything isn't as fresh as it was when I started? Well, that's where programs like the Second Mile help you develop a personal, like Paul had, relationship with God's Word and His Spirit. Listen, now I'm taking what David says was that to encourage yourself in the Lord. Man, when I was up here, man, when I first started, man, I got to a place where it's like, I don't have to encourage myself, because I got people. Have you ever had a conversation with Scott? He is so encouraging. Oh my gosh, it is so amazing. Man, Vanessa, what is it like to be married to Scott? He is perfect. It is so amazing. And so you don't have to do it, but then it becomes more routine. And it's not as fresh, and then you catch yourself daydreaming. And then you hear a story for the third time, and you're like, I've heard that story before. Because I'm only 57 years old. I only have so many stories. And you've, how many of you guys have heard all my stories? Yeah, there you go. Jeez, that hand shot up. We'll deal with that later, woman, I'll tell you right now. We don't go for that over to my house, okay? But I'm only playing, honey, you know. But you have to begin to encourage yourself in the Lord. And see, and so that downward routine that we get in, we have to take it, and we have to pull it up to where now it becomes that upward place, and we're just excited about everything God's doing here. Why? Because I've gone from just the conceptual side of this, the concept of church, to I'm committed to church. And you know that commitment, let me just tell you, church commitment is a drag. It really is. See, the misconception is submission is a drag. Submission's not the drag. Commitment's the drag. Submission, you've relinquished all rights. It's not a drag anymore. So you know what? I'm just taking responsibility for all of it. Whatever I can do, if I see it, I own it. Man, I'm telling you, I'm gonna serve God like He's staying at the Ritz-Carlton, and I'm an employee. Man, this is on. It's gonna be service at such a five-star level. It's gonna be amazing. Because see, here's what happens in our life. When that opportunity to overcome happens, see, they don't come with warnings a lot of times, okay? So last week, I get a call. Sean Schaefer's been in a traffic accident. I said, okay. He's at the hospital. I said, okay. It's church day. I said, okay, fine. So we're walking in, and I realize how serious it is. And I run into Chano, and I said, Chano, hang on. And he started to say something. I said, hold it. Do you have any doubt? He said, no, sir. I said, any at all? Is anything rattling around in you that should concern us? He said, no. I said, okay, good. Because we're taking a stand of faith right here and now. Man, the Schaefers, the Houstons, everybody did. And it goes from his life weighing in the balance to Sandy and I going to see him, whatever day that was. We go to where the room's supposed to be. And this is one of those where it's going to be a long, long, arduous. It's going to be a long time. You have to be patient. Well, we go up there. They tell us his room. We go to his room. It is empty. It's cleaned out. I'm like, this is odd. Where's Sean? And they said, I don't know. I'm like, okay, go to your computer. She goes to the computer. She said, well, he's been discharged. I said, no, I'm sure. She said, I'm sure he has. I said, no, there's a mistake. And she said, No, he's been discharged. She said, he's been admitted into the rehab side. He's out of this part of the hospital. He's in rehab now. I'm like, that's good, right? And she said, that's amazing. And it was in a week and a half. And it's and so now there's all these, now listen, there's all of these bona fide miracle comments. It's a bona fide miracle. Like, I know. And it, listen, that just doesn't happen. It's not coincidental. It's because people took a stand of faith and didn't move, didn't blink, didn't cower, didn't rest. They had that stand. And you might say, well, I don't know the word well enough. You have to have a word, one word. And you grab a hold of, you lay hold on eternal life in that one word from God, and then you just stand on that word and that promise. And one word from God changes everything. One word from God gives you that supernatural ability to overcome whatever deal that you have. And let me tell you, what God has for every one of us when those things hit our lives, he has bona fide miracles, because that's who God is. That's what God does. See, what you're going through in life right now, it could be financial, it could be relational, it could be, man, it could be a sin you're caught up in. I'm just telling you, you got to get aggressive with this. And you know what? It might. I'm telling you, I guarantee you there's people laughing at me. There's people mocking me. There's people laugh at you and they will mock. They did it to Jesus. But see, we've got to look at our life and we got to decide, do we want to live up here or do we want to live at that base level? Do we want to live at a level where everybody else is? The last thing we needed was anybody that fraudulently was taking a stand of faith, was just faking it. You know, the whole adage, fake it till you make it, does not apply to faith. Because let me tell you, the devil knows what trust is, and that's what he has to submit to. He has to submit to your trust toward God's promise every single time, no matter what. Let me tell you what happened here. A traffic accident. Let me tell you what didn't follow up was the attack of the enemy. Every door, every window, every orifice, everything was shut. It gave him no place. Didn't matter what any report was. Didn't matter what anybody, any scientific concern was. No, it's like, you know, here, this is where our stand is, and we're believing God, and we're not going anywhere else. Let me tell you how important this is. Paul in 2 Corinthians 10 says, for though we walk in the flesh, our strategy is not according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ. Every single thought. You'll say, man, I can't. I have 25,000 thoughts a day. Yeah, but the great news is you have one at a time. You want to overcome? You have to bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. Oh, that's arduous, I know. You just can't let your mind go places. Because let me just tell you, the way a man thinks, so he is. Man, you think on these things. I mean, in the book of Isaiah 26:3, it says, God, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Man, the great news, amazing news, is Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. The whole idea of Jesus, of Christ rising from the dead, means that now he's earned the right to give life to my mortal body, to give life to areas that aren't naturally there. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, don't you know that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Man, we're the temple. See, this building, this property that does not house the Spirit of God anymore. That's not the plan. I know we want the church to be, well, this is a Spirit-filled church. This is a church. Well, no, it only is if that's the word that's preached here, and that's the stand that has been taken here. See, that's what determines it is y'all, is us. And 1 John 5, 4, and 5 is so powerful. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that's overcome the world, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he who believes in Jesus, the Son of God. It's our faith. What are you going through right now? What are you dealing with right now? What do you have to overcome right now? See, it's simple. It's a simple truth. You don't get any wiggle room, though. You can't go through this fraudulently. You can't fake it. What you have to do is you have to say, I'm putting all of my trust right here, and this is where I'm going to stand. I'm not blinking. I'm not flinching. I'm not buckling. I'm not cowering. I'm going to stand, and I'm going to win. And I'm not going to lose hope, because I'm going to see God's promise. I may not see it, but it's been promised. And I see it in my stand. How do we overcome? Our faith. Our trust. Can't be any wavering, no doubting. And it's got to be aggressive, sometimes violent. And I'm not talking about fleshly or worldly violence. I'm talking about spiritually, where you quiet yourself. Trust me, you commit to bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ, you're going to have to get violent. Your mind is strong. It's been doing it its way for a long time. So now I'm bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ. I don't see people by the flesh anymore, but by the Spirit. I'm not looking at them at their frailties and their faults. I'm looking at their weaknesses become God's strength. See, we begin to see the people around us in our life. You begin to look at your husband, that the weakness in his life becomes the strength of God. It's a game changer for you. But we take a stand of faith. What do you have to overcome? You could do it right here and right now. We overcome by faith. Our faith is we put all of our belief in it, and that's what comes out of our mouth. Paul said, listen, the faith of God, here it is in a nutshell, that you say to this mountain, an authority trying to hover over you, you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and don't receive, harbor any doubt in your heart. He said, you'll have whatever you say. And when you stand praying, forgive. You'll say, well, what else? There is nothing. There's no else. That's it. Nothing else. You speak to that mountain. You got an issue? You take a stand of faith and you speak to it. You're living hand to mouth and month to month. You know what the Bible calls that? Poverty. The wilderness. You speak to that mountain. Poverty, you have to go. You have to leave my life, leave my house. You take your hands off of this God's property. I command you to go in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that all my needs met according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And that's the stand that I'm going to take right there. God, I thank you that you daily load me with benefits. And that's the stand that I'm going to take right here. God, I'm blessed coming in, I'm blessed going out, I'm blessed in the city, and I'm blessed in the field. That's the stand that I'm going to take right here. You got a diagnosis? By whose stripes you were healed. Jesus, being the same yesterday, today, and forever, went about doing good and healing all. Yeah, but mine, I've just smoked a long time, and I'm just reaping what I sow, and you know, it's self-inflicted. Oh, really? I get a good word for you if it's self-inflicted. I got a great word for you. He sent his word to heal you and deliver you of all your self-destructions. I'm not kidding you. I got a mouthful here. I could do this all day. But see, that's what our life has to become. Because you know what the routine of this is going to be? The newness is going to wear off, and it's going to become routine. And what do we have to do? We have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Man, we've got to take personal stock. We have to take personal responsibility to raise the level of our life. And let me just tell you, the temptations that I dealt with down there cannot travel at this level that I'm at right here. And this is where you have to be. You have to be in a place where you take charge of your life. And then you're the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. That overcomer is on the inside of you, and you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for every person in this room. God, I thank you that your hand's in every life here. Everybody going through things from A to Z, God. God, I thank you that the overcoming nature that was in Jesus, who overcame death and the cross and the grave and hell and walked out of that tomb, God, is in us. As he is on the earth, so are we. Just repeat this prayer with me. Just in a regular conversational tone of voice, maybe so the people around you can hear you pray. Father God, I give you my life. I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I trust you, God. I'm trusting you with everything. God, the same Spirit that overcame the world, that raised Christ from the dead, lives in me. God, I'm the temple of your Holy Spirit. I'm a changed person. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The overcoming nature of Jesus is what drives me now. I'm fueled by it. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. My sin is remitted, and all things have become new. I've got new life in Christ, a new heart, a new spirit, a new mind. God, I thank you now. The rest of my life will be better than ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.